Well, it's finally here. Just a few more hours, and it will finally be Christmas. Children will soon be tucked in their beds if they're not already. Visions of Legos and Xboxes dancing in their heads. You know, when you're a kid, it seems like Christmas is never going to come. I remember as a kid, and we have one at our house now, but it doesn't have the same weight as it used to. One of those Advent calendars, you know, where you're actually plugging things in all the way through, all the way till you get up. Well, when I was a kid, we followed that. We didn't get the candy like they have in some of those Advent calendars now. That's pretty cool. We never got that. We just had a little thing we moved from place to place. But when I was growing up, you always knew it was Christmas because the Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, was the day when they started playing those Rankin-Bass Christmas specials. You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman and Yukon Cornelius, you know, and all that stuff that they played. But you always really knew it was Christmas when during that show, this ad appeared, the Norelco Santa Claus shaving commercial, where Santa Claus rides the Norelco shaver over the hills and brings in Christmas. That was when Christmas happens. But that was the day after Thanksgiving. Now it seems like Christmas comes earlier every year, doesn't it? Advertisers keep pushing the Christmas envelope. This year it was Kmart who kicked off the holiday season by advertising on September 8th with a TV ad featuring a gingerbread man stalking a woman in an office. Now, that was 108 days before Christmas, mind you, violating the unwritten retail rule that bars any advertising more than 100 days out. But even 100 days is a long time, isn't it? I mean, some of my neighbors had their Christmas lights up while the kids were trick-or-treating. Some radio stations began to play their all-Christmas formats starting on November 12th. We can't even really have Black Friday anymore. Now it's become, I don't know what color it is, Thursday, where we do Christmas shopping along with eating our Thanksgiving turkey. If it keeps up like this, we'll be getting Christmas ads for next year on Valentine's Day. It's no wonder that people lament that Christmas seems to come earlier every year. But while it feels like the Christmas hoopla is coming a lot sooner these days, the truth is that historically, we're not seeing Christmas ads as early as our great-grandparents did generations ago. An October Christmas ad says, "This may seem a little premature, but it's really not. Could have been written in 2013, was actually written in 1912. But the early Christmas season actually goes back even further, back to the Victorian era. Oh, the Victorian era, when so many of our retail habits were born. I mean, Christmas was only declared a national holiday in the United States in 1870 by President Ulysses Grant. This is after generations of not really celebrating Christmas in a lot of the United States. I mean, the Puritans, when they came across, you know, in the Mayflower and stuff like that, they didn't want anything to do with Christmas. They saw what had happened in England, where there was so much merriment around the Christmas season, and they say, no, too much fun. Can't have that anymore. So they outlawed Christmas. Seriously. And it was that way for the first few generations of colonial America until gradually it began to be picked up again in the 1870 being declared a holiday. But there are some other things that happened at the same time that Christmas was being declared a national holiday. In the late 1800s, inventions like cash registers and mail order catalogs and the department store, complete with escalators, and the Christmas shopping season all were born around that time. A November 19th, 1885 ad reminds shoppers to keep it in mind. "It's needless to remind you that Christmas is coming," says the ad, "but we want everyone who intends purchasing Christmas presents to comprehend that we are now all ready." Comprehend. We're ready. By 1888, the in-store Christmas blowout sale was born. My favorite line from this is an 1893 ad in a Salt Lake newspaper for a department store sale. that sounds more like a holiday ransom note. It says this: "This is no joke. We mean it. We will do it. Monday, Monday, Monday." Of course, even then, there was public outcry against early Christmas advertising. Merchants in Sioux City, Iowa, for example, were berated for having Christmas sales in October, while the Philadelphia Inquirer lamented that gift buying has begun in earnest, seems to get earlier every year. That was in 1901. Early 20th century progressives, however, thought that early shopping was actually a good idea because it put less stress on the retail clerks. This is a time when labor laws were coming into effect, child labor laws, and so forth. The Shop Early campaign was the brainchild of Florence Kelly, who would go on to found the NAACP. And she called for a halt to what she called the inhuman nature of the 11th hour rush on sales clerks. Well, by 1918, labor shortages kicked in with the advent of World War I. So there were ads that appeared with Santa Claus dressed in a doughboy uniform, urging Americans to take the crush out of your Christmas shopping and put it into winning the war. But the early Christmas shopping season didn't stop after the war. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, a 1920 ad asked an apocalyptic question of shoppers: "If Christmas came tomorrow, would you be ready?" Well, are you? Because it is tomorrow. Historically speaking, then, an early Christmas season isn't all that unusual, at least in the last 150 years or so. I want to tell you that's the Easter Bunny, but it's not. It's actually Peter Rabbit cartoon. So if you're thinking that's the Easter Bunny, that would really make an awesome illustration, but it wouldn't be historically correct. In fact, sticking out a few more extra months onto the Christmas season isn't really that big of a deal, especially when you put it into perspective, the perspective that we read in the scriptures. If you think about a few months of early Christmas shopping being hassle, think about your Christmas ramp up being, say, 700 years. That's the time frame we're looking at when we read this evening's scripture from Isaiah. In fact, you could argue that what we're reading here is one of the first ever Christmas advertisements posted up at about 700 BC to a people who were in desperate need for a Christmas. Now, a little background here. Isaiah was a prophet who gave God's word to several kings of Judah during a time of crisis in the land. Judah was under threat of invasion by foreign powers, and as God's mouthpiece, Isaiah was to offer a sign that would strengthen the people's hope. And so he goes to King Ahaz and says, "Ask God for a sign." And Ahaz says, "Well, I don't know what to ask for." And so Isaiah gives him a sign anyway. Now, Ahaz, who's the king, watching these foreign invaders outside, is thinking, the sign that I need is a spear or a shield or horses or something like that. I need a military sign. What's the sign that Isaiah gives him? A baby. A young woman is with child, and she'll bear a son and name him Emmanuel. A child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, babies make for great ad copy. I mean, who doesn't love the E-Trade baby, right? My favorite Super Bowl commercials. But babies make for lousy warriors. In fact, babies require a lot of waiting. You wait months for them to be born. Then you have to wait a couple of years before they can speak. You wait until they can dress themselves. And then you wait till they can buckle themselves into the car seat, which was the greatest day of our parenting life. They could put themselves in the car seat. We had a little two-door Toyota Tercel that I banged my head on the door every time I stuck them in the back of the car. That was a great day, by the way. But it seemed like it took forever to get to that point. It takes even more years, and for some, more and more years, before they become self-sufficient and functional in society. What babies do represent, however, is hope. And hope was in short supply in Judah. Isaiah looked toward a day when a real king, God's king, would come to the throne. And while Isaiah may have been thinking of a child born in his own time, it's clear that his ad image of a child who would grow to be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, wasn't going to happen anytime soon. In fact, within another 100 years or so, Judah would be invaded and taken into exile by the Babylonians. But Isaiah's ad remained, posted up there, hoping for a baby, hoping for an early Christmas. Others in Israel's history posted ads as well. The prophet Micah, who was doing his work around the same time as Isaiah, advertised Bethlehem as the place this child would be born. "Hear you peoples, all of you, listen, O earth, and all that is in it," screams his headline. And in the fine print, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days." Now Bethlehem, of course, was where King David was from. And it was widely known that Israel's true king would come from David's line. "But this king is different," says Micah. "His origin is of old, from ancient days." This was the verse that centuries later would send wise men from the east looking for the birthplace of Israel's greatest king. Isaiah and Micah, as well as some of the other prophets, were advertising for an early Christmas because their nation really needed one. They needed that infant king to be born, to grow up and lead Israel out of oppression once and for all. Others, however, placed their ads too. But they were more like personal ads. Think about Job, for example. While not classified strictly as a prophet, Job was nonetheless pining for an early Christmas. Indeed, it couldn't come early enough for him. If you remember the story of Job, it begins with Job being very prosperous, having family, and there's a great party going on, and Job is so righteous that he prays for his children just in case they did something wrong, and he's very righteous, and then all these disasters happen to him, and he winds up losing his family, he winds up losing his livelihood, and he winds up covered with boils, and he's sitting on an ash heap, and he's scraping himself with a shard of pottery. It doesn't get any worse. Job wasn't looking for a grand national holiday. Job was simply looking for someone to plead his case to God. His three idiot friends who came with him, armchair theologians all, were of no help. Job was as honest and pure a man as we can imagine, and yet he suffered more than anyone else. In his misery, Job wanted someone to stand between him and God. "God is not a man that I might answer him," says Job, "that we might confront each other in court. If only there was someone to arbitrate between us, to lay his hand on us both." Isaiah and Micah were looking for a king. Job was advertising for some personal help. All of them, however, were advertising for a savior. As Joe read for us at the beginning of the service, those prayers and prophecies were answered in a barn in Bethlehem, some 7 centuries after the prophets posted their ads. The angels announced it to a bunch of shepherds who were usually the last people in Israel to hear any good news. "To you is born this day. To you is born this day. In the city of David, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." The long-awaited Christmas had finally come. But of course, if you wait 700 years for something, that leaves plenty of time to heap up a lot of other expectations. And no one expected Christmas to come like this. This baby was from a poor family. His parentage, questionable. He wasn't born in a palace, but in a barn. He didn't grow up wearing royal robes. His daily garb was a contractor's apron. When he started preaching, he didn't advocate for people to grab up their swords and attack their oppressors. Instead, he told them to love their enemies and pray for those who persecuted them. They expected a king who would rule from a throne, not die on a cross. Many in first century Israel felt like the arrival of Christmas was a bait and switch. Not at all what they expected. It's the human tendency to want what we want, even if we have to change the story to fit our expectations. It's like a little boy I heard about who wanted to be Joseph in the Sunday school Christmas pageant, but he was cast as the innkeeper instead. He objected loudly, but to no avail. During the pageant performance, Mary and Joseph knocked on the door and asked the innkeeper if he had room for them. Well, the boy smiled and said, "Yeah, sure, lots of room. Come on in." We often act according to our expectations. Indeed, nobody expected that this baby in a manger was actually God in the flesh. The very one who had given the prophets all those promises about a baby king, the one who had showed himself to Job there on the ash heap, had come in person to do the job. That had been his plan from the beginning. When the first humans bought into the false advertising of a snake in the garden and tried to become like gods themselves. Ever since then, and as the video we started with beautifully shows, ever since the third chapter of Genesis, God had been planning to mend the break caused by human sin. And he was going to do it by becoming human himself. He would do it by becoming Isaiah's advertised king. Look back at Isaiah 9 and you see that Jesus was everything that was advertised. Isaiah said that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, we read these words about Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Jesus himself would say in John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus came at night into a world filled with darkness, and yet he shined forth the light of God's grace on hopeless humanity. Isaiah said that the king would bring joy to the nation. Jesus would bring joy to the whole world. As he taught his disciples, he told them, I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The joy of Christmas is a joy that comes from knowing that no matter what our circumstances might be, God is with us. Isaiah said that the king would take away the rod of the oppressor, the yoke of slavery from his people. And Isaiah may have been thinking of the enemy at the gates of Jerusalem, but Jesus knew that the real oppressors of humanity are the forces of sin and death. Jesus would take them on himself, dying at the hands of sinful humanity, but then rising again to new life, defeating death and liberating those who trust in him from its power. Isaiah had said that all the implements of war, the tramping boots and garments rolled in blood, would be burned in the fire. Jesus would wear no doughboy helmet, but would come and demonstrate the way of peace, forgiving his enemies and calling for his disciples to love them into the kingdom. Yes, Jesus did really fit the bill. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah's Christmas had finally come, but in a way that delivered way more than was advertised. But Jesus also answers Job's personal ad. Here was one who was both fully human and fully divine, one who laid his hands on both God and humanity. Job pleaded for someone to understand his suffering, to offer his case to God. God's answer to Job, ultimately, was Jesus. One who suffered as we suffer. A sign that God is not distant from us, but enters into the mess and the darkness and the brokenness of our world. He doesn't speak in platitudes like Job's friends. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Now we know that there's still a lot of darkness in this world. We know that sin and death still oppress us. We know that war and violence are still the norm. But because of Jesus, because of Christmas, we know that that won't always be the case. Even when we suffer like Job, we know that God has not abandoned us. Indeed, we can say, as Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. Christmas came for the love of humanity. But that first Christmas was only the beginning. The birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus was the beginning of a new age, looking forward to the day when God's kingdom would come in its fullness, when death is defeated forever and God's good creation is restored. The first Christmas was thus a foretaste of another Christmas to come. Notice how Paul puts it in his Christmas ad to Titus that Joe read for us just a little while ago. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. That's Christmas past. But now Paul says we must live in light of Christmas future, renouncing impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul says, another Christmas is coming, and it's never too early to get ready. You know, it may not be too long before retailers start making Christmas ads year-round. In fact, according to some experts, if you really want to do your Christmas shopping and get the best deal, you should go in June. Because at Christmas time, the regular price actually gets jacked up, so the sale price looks very attractive, but you're actually paying more than you would have in June. So shopping early is actually good for your wallet. But you know what? Anticipating an early Christmas is also very good for your soul. As we sang a bit ago, born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Oh, Christmas is coming tomorrow. Are you ready? Christmas is coming again. That's a Christmas, an early Christmas, that we can look forward to every single day. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this great good news. It wasn't what the world expected, but it's what we needed. We thank you that you humbled yourself and came among us in the form of a servant, as a human who laughed and loved and hurt and suffered as we do. Jesus died, and yet he rose again. And because of that, we have the promise of resurrection life ourselves. We know that you are working to renew your good creation. Lord, help us to participate in that project. Let us not leave this place the same, but to dedicate our lives to working toward an early Christmas. In a world of darkness, Lord, help us to bring light. In a world of conflict, help us to bring peace. Help us to follow the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns, and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.